Let's open our Bibles to Matthew, the 13th chapter. Matthew, the 13th chapter. I'm going to be reading from the New King James, beginning at verse 36. If you'd like to read along with me, I'm going to be going through verse 43. And it begins by saying, "Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house. And his disciples came to him and saying, 'Explain to us the parable of the tares of the field.' He answered and said to them, 'He who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed is the sons of the kingdom, but the tares are the sons of the wicked one. The enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so will be the end of this age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire, and there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." It would be too obvious for me to simply begin whispering as I start the lesson on listening. Because what we're going to be talking about this morning is not whether or not someone is saying something loud enough to be heard. What we're going to be talking about is the point that is made by Jesus when he says, "Those who have ears to hear, let them hear." And so this morning, we're going to be asking the question, how well do you listen? How do you pay attention when someone's speaking to you? Do you, in fact, comprehend what is being said? That's what we're going to be talking about this morning as we talk about the idea of listening and recognizing that when Jesus says, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear," he is actually stating a theme that's going to be repeated throughout the New Testament. And even as Jesus speaks to the seven churches, oftentimes he makes that admonition, he gives that admonition that indeed we need to be listening, we need to be hearing, and we need to be understanding. He says that to most of the churches there in Asia Minor. So it's important in God's eyes that we be listening to the things that are said. I want to suggest to you this morning that there are various types of listeners. And this isn't going to be anything new to you, but it's going to be a reminder that it's important that we pay attention when others are speaking to us in all aspects of life, but especially when we're talking about the Word of God. When somebody stands before you, such as I'm doing today, it's important that you be the kind of hearer that is going to listen to what's being said. One of the ways that somebody might find themselves listening but not listening is to be guilty of what is often called those who are dull of hearing. That was certainly the case with some of the Christians even of the New Testament, as the Hebrew writer here in Hebrews the 5th chapter warns. In the 5th chapter, beginning at 11, or in fact verse 11, "Of whom we have much to say, and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing." Now remember the setting here. The book of Hebrews is written to a group of Christians who for some reason seem to be thinking it might be better to go back to the law of Moses. And so the book of Hebrews gives a number of reasons why Christ is superior to the law they've left behind. And the accusation that is put forth here in the 5th chapter was that many of those Hebrew Christians just were not willing to hear the things that were being said. They were, in fact, being dull of hearing. I think it's important to recognize that this is oftentimes a problem even among ourselves. We don't want to admit it many times, but it often comes a responsibility to each one of us individually to pay attention to what the speaker is saying, to comprehend what he is saying, and be able to explain even within our own minds the things that we're hearing. Now, in another lesson, we'll talk about the importance of the things we speak and the ability to proclaim them clearly so that others can understand. But the lesson this morning falls to each of us to be willing to understand the subject, understand the material, and listen to what's being said. Isaiah talked about such people as Jesus references in Matthew the 13th chapter, earlier from the parable that we read. Jesus says, "Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand." That's the idea of being dull of hearing. They're not understanding. "And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, 'Hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them.'" Jesus was making the point that the people had begun to show themselves quite unwilling to understand Jesus. He had spoken clearly to them, and they were rejecting what they clearly understood, because the hearers had an agenda, and not accepting Christ as Messiah was their agenda. And so Jesus says, in that case, "I'm going to elevate my speech to the point of parables, so that since you miss the plain teaching, you're going to miss the parables as well. You did not deserve, or you showed yourself undeserving by intentionally not understanding what I clearly had been teaching." And in this sense, they were dull of hearing. They were unwilling to understand what Jesus was saying. They were unwilling to turn from their sins and accept Christ as Messiah. They were unwilling to turn, in fact, back to God. They were steeped in their traditions. They were steeped in the things that made them happy. And the fact that Jesus didn't come along and fit the mold of what they were looking for caused them then to become dull of hearing. There are those also that not only have the dull hearing, but there are some who find themselves having itching ears. Now, those who have itching ears have a particular problem, and that is that they're wanting things that are pleasing to them. Let's take a moment and look at what Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter. There in verses 3 and 4, Paul says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they heap up to themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables." We're going to test ourselves over our time together, over whether or not, when the word is truthfully proclaimed, you're willing to hear it, and you're willing to make the changes necessary. Let me say to you right now that this applies to me as it does to you. I may learn more about the Word. I should learn more about the Word in my time here than in my past experiences. There will probably be things that you will be able to teach me, and I'd better have a willingness to hear those things. There may be things that I'm going to teach you, and you need to have a willingness to hear those things and accept them. I don't want to always hear the things that please me and contradict the Word of God. I don't want to be that way. And I would hope and suspect that you are the same way. But we've got to guard against the idea of being set in something that we believe to be true and therefore only want someone to say the things that we already know to be true. I remember one time somebody in a congregation we were a part of said, oftentimes Bible study is simply Church of Christ creed rehearsal. Actually, I told the person that if they're referencing my Bible classes, I'm insulted by that. And that wasn't my own haughtiness. I pray God that our Bible studies are not, and they were using the term Church of Christ in a deriding sense, that our Bible studies are not some kind of denominational sense of a rehearsal of what we as a denomination believe. If that's all you expect a Bible study to be or a sermon to be, then you may in fact be an individual that has itching ears. I pray to God that we as members of the Church of Christ, holding the Bible as our only standard, will have ears that want the Bible to prove the points that need to be proven, and that you and I will have ears that want people to teach that to us and not simply to rehearse an answer that we've always heard. Let me also say that I would hope that 99.999% of the things that I say to you will indeed be things that you've already heard and came to understand long ago because you were taught it from the Word of God. We're both using the same source, the Word of God, and so naturally it's going to be a rehearsal, a reinforcement of what the Word of God says and not some derogatory term of the Church of Christ. We need to be careful that we don't have itching ears, though. We need to be careful that we always require sound doctrine, and we need to be prepared as individual hearers to make changes when somebody shows us a thus saith the Lord in relation to other aspects of thus saith the Lord that help us then to understand that what had been our view on a particular subject is now going to change, and not simply say, no, wait a minute, as a teacher, I'm rejecting you because I only want you to say the things I want to hear. And again, I'm including myself with you, whomever our teacher might be, as I listen along with you, that we don't allow ourselves to become individuals with itching ears. What we end up doing, if we have that attitude, is make it uncomfortable for somebody who's going to teach our classes to want to teach because they are rebuffed, not because they taught the truth, but because they didn't say what we wanted to hear said. And I would hope that if I say things that you don't want to hear, but it is in harmony with the Word, that we'll be able to grow together and come to what the Word says. That doesn't mean that I don't expect to be at times rebuffed for the things I say. There may be times when that's necessary. And I pray to God that I will have a heart that will take that rebuffing and do what God's Word says, as I would hope your rebuffing will challenge me to do. But let that challenge be to each and every one of us, that we not be individuals that simply have an itching ear that only wants to hear the things that please us. Another type of hearing that is put forth, and this is the good one, it is the idea of the noble and the good heart. In the parable that talks about the soils, A couple of the Gospels present that narrative, that parable. In Luke's account in verse 15 of chapter 8, "But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience." This passage is telling us something that we don't often get hold of. And before I get to the point, I want to go ahead and talk about what was said there in Acts 17:11. "These are more noble or more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so." The seed that falls on the good and noble heart. There are two things at work there. The good heart and the noble heart. One is the idea of the honest heart. The good and honest heart. Some translations and others of the gospel account may present. This is what that is telling us. When you talk to a friend or loved one about the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they don't accept God's plan of salvation, at that point, at that moment, they may be wrestling with what to do because it contradicts what they grew up knowing all of their lives. What this passage tells us is if they never accept that gospel, and let me say, I don't suggest that you throw this out as a charge at them. But what it will tell you is, if they continue on in rejecting the truth of the gospel, they lack one or both of those things. They either don't have a good heart, or they don't have an honest heart. We oftentimes look at our religious friends and we say, I believe they have a good and honest heart. They just won't accept God's plan of salvation because they've been bombarded with Calvinism all their life or whatever. And so they just can't get out of that, but they have a good and honest heart. Jesus says, no, they don't. And again, I'm not saying that I would ever lay that charge to them. I simply know in my own mind that if somebody hears the truth of the gospel and does not respond to it and continues to never respond, then all I can conclude is what Jesus concluded. They lacked either the good heart or the honest heart. They may have a very, very good heart, but they're not being honest about what God says about coming to Him. And they remain dishonest in accepting what they'd been taught all their life. Or, they simply find themselves in the group they're in. They like it in the group they're in because they can carry on and be evil people and never be called to task on it. So they don't even have a good heart, let alone honest. What does all of that mean? That means that as people that we have loved and known all of our lives, who have rejected the gospel of Christ, as they come to the end of their life, all we can say is, we presented the gospel, and the seed did not fall on an honest and good heart. It can hurt us in the sense of giving us great sorrow. But that's the truth of what Jesus has presented. That also tells us then, and gives us hope that, if an individual hears that message, lets it meditate within them, ferment within them, it will come to the point where they will accept the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let me give you an illustration, and I'm going to actually use a person's name, and they're not here. Perhaps one day you'll get to meet them. My daughter-in-law, Chris Shane, had been married to my son for about 9 years, and we'd tried to talk about the plan of salvation. She came from a very religious background, very religious. And they came down to Florida for the first holiday season we were there. And after church Sunday, we all had our meal and we sat down and all the guys sat down. We were going to watch a football game. And she says, wait. Before you start your ball game, you said something in your sermon and I don't understand why you don't think I'm a Christian. And for the next 3 hours, we went methodically through the various things. And she said, I need to be baptized into Christ. And we all said, yes, you do. We went to the building and she died with Christ in baptism. We got back to the house and she said, Dad, I just got one question for you. Now, it may have been 9 or 11 years. I don't remember. It wasn't my responsibility. She said, I've been married all these years and part of this family all these years. Why hadn't you told me any of this? She had no sooner finished that sentence than she answered it. And she said, you told me and I just wouldn't listen. I wasn't hearing what you were saying. That was a girl that had an honest and good heart. It took a long time to get through the prejudices that she had, but she to this day is faithfully serving God with the East Columbus Church of Christ in Columbus, Mississippi. It's the honest and good heart, the noble and good heart. And that's what we seek for all those who listen. What's the importance of this kind of listening? Well, one of the important things is that it is by listening that we are going to be blessed. We are going to be blessed in that we will properly understand all the wonderful things we need within our lives and learn. Again, back in Matthew, the 13th chapter, 16 and 17, but blessed are you, are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Oh, the people that had lived for the hundreds of years during prophecy that would want to have heard the words of Jesus. And those people weren't going to listen, so they weren't going to get the blessing. When we listen to the words of Jesus, when we listen to people that are proclaiming the Word, then it's a blessing to us. And anybody who lets their mind drift to what the college standings are going to be as to whether or not they are fair and right in putting Ohio State in the Final Four or not, if that's on your mind right now, then you're not listening appropriately to the message of the blessing of Jesus Christ, because whoever gets in the Final Four is nothing compared to the good news of Jesus Christ. That's what should be in our hearts. That's where the blessing should come for each and every one of us this morning. There were many great men who wanted to hear of the salvation that was found in Jesus Christ, and they had lived and died and didn't get to hear it. We get to hear. We get to hear the words that Daniel didn't get to hear. We get to hear the words that Elijah, Jeremiah, and others didn't get to hear. We get to hear the words of Jesus. We get to be blessed by the good news of Jesus Christ. So indeed, there is a blessing to listening. And not only that, but the importance is in that saving faith that we are able to hear. God has ordained that we have faith through the Word, through Jesus Christ. We find that it is recorded in Romans, the first chapter, 16 and 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So if I want the righteousness that is found within living for Christ, I get it through the Word. If I want that faith that is going to allow me to be saved one day, I get it through the Word. Paul goes on and tells the Romans in chapter 10, verses 14 then 17, how then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? The gospel was intended to be delivered by those who proclaim the gospel to others. And let me say that while primarily we think of this in reference to the man who is standing before us in a situation like this, it applies to both men and women who go and tell their neighbors and tell their co-workers the good news of Jesus Christ. To you young people who tell your friends at school the good news of Jesus Christ. The young people won't understand this. I don't care how many barnacles you have on your feet. I don't care how calloused your heel is. You have beautiful feet if you're taking the gospel of Jesus Christ to those who haven't heard it. And every child of God here needs to be a beautifully footed Christian, sharing what you know of the gospel of Christ with others. He goes on in 17 and says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Are you sharing your faith, young people? Are you sharing your faith, older folks? Moms and dads, are you sharing the faith of the good news of Jesus Christ? I would hope we all are, and I would hope that we encourage each other in the years ahead to be doing so. Not only is the saving faith there, and we recognize its importance, but we also recognize that if we're going to be bearing fruit, we must be individuals who have listened to share. Back to our reading in Luke 8, verse 15. But the ones that fell on the good ground were those who, having heard the word. If somebody's over here with a noble and good heart, and you know them, and you keep your mouth shut about it, how do they get to exercise their noble and good heart? If you did nothing to share it with them, that's going to put a responsibility on you. It's putting a responsibility on me to take that word and bear the fruit of sharing it with those around us. You're only responsible for sharing what you know. Don't worry about whether or not you can bear the fruit of an explanation of the book of Revelation. Worry about and take on the responsibility of bearing the fruit that brought you to Christ, and just share that with the people around you. Too many people get afraid about personal evangelism because they're so afraid they go talk to somebody, and the first thing they're going to want to know is, explain the imagery in Daniel chapter 9 to me. You're not going to come across that very often. In fact, I would say to you and suspect that if you take the fundamental good news of Jesus Christ to someone, that's where the discussion will be. They're not going to set that aside and say, well, tell me about the great battle of Armageddon in Revelation chapter 19. Don't worry about that. Bear fruit with the fruit that you have to share with others. Being a good listener is going to help prevent apostasy. There's a real danger of us drifting. The Hebrew writer said, and remember, these folks were already starting to drift, therefore we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proves steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard Him? The danger of apostasy is always before us, my friends. Somebody once said to me, and I think it's a true statement, we can be one generation away from apostasy. Think about that. Those of us who are in our 50s and 60s and beyond, the generation just before us needs to be careful not to go to apostasy. Those of you who are in your 40s and 50s and early 30s, you need to be careful that this generation doesn't go into apostasy. We're one generation, I believe, away from apostasy. And the way we avoid it is proclaiming the truth, demanding a thus saith the Lord for the things that are said, and standing firm within the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so we'll prevent apostasy. I want to close this morning by also recommending or suggesting the fact that if we listen closely, we'll avoid rejection and condemnation on that final day. We'll avoid having to stand before God and give account in a negative way. You know, in the limited commission that was put forth in Matthew 10, He made this point: whoever will not receive you nor hear your words when you depart from that house or city, shake off the dust from your feet. Now, He was literally talking to those, the 70 who were going out, but the principle is still applicable. We want to be sure that we don't have somebody saying, I shake the dust off of my feet because you've turned away. If we find ourselves in that condition, then we're going to be lost. What we want to do is just give a couple of thoughts of how we listen properly. In listening properly, we take action when we're in worship services. Listening is as important as preaching the Word. I want to suggest to you that every aspect of worship is joint participation. When we gather together, every aspect is joint participation. In singing, somebody may lead, but we all sing. In prayer, somebody may pray, but we're all in prayer with them. In hearing the Word proclaimed, we listen to the Word being proclaimed. When the Lord's Supper is being taken, we are taking the Lord's Supper. It's joint participation. The act of collection is the only one of those things that is based upon whether or not you've prospered this week. And that's very clearly, and this is a subject for later times, but that's very clearly talking about the financial prospering. There may be some weeks you don't prosper. You're not called upon to give. The weeks you prosper, you're called upon to give. That aside, the point is, when we listen, we're improving our worship. It's important to listen from the beginning to the end. One of the great dangers that a preacher has is in those last minutes losing people as their stomachs begin to growl. Your responsibility is to listen until we're finished proclaiming the Word. It's important to have eye contact. One of the reasons the screen goes blank behind me many times with that little dot is because the experts have said, and I've seen this true, the experts have said when the screen goes black, your eyes come back to the speaker. And if we have good eye contact, you're going to be a little less likely to go to sleep. Now, sometimes it just happens, and I say that seriously. I don't know what your night was like. I don't know what your medications are. I don't know how you do in a warm auditorium, as it seems to me to be. But by and large, it's your responsibility to stay awake. It's my responsibility to keep you awake. But you got to listen. And eye contact does a great job of letting us stay involved in the conversation. Listen in faith. Those of you who are children of God know that what this lesson is intended to do is build and strengthen your faith. Listen to take action. I've challenged you today in a number of areas to take action. I think in most of the lessons we've had, I've intended to lay a challenge out to you. If you've not gotten that impression, then I've failed as a speaker, and tell me and I'll work on that. But ultimately, each of us has to ask ourselves, how well do you listen? And I think that's just as cute a picture as I could find of that cute little baby with those headphones on. I don't know who the child is. I got it off the internet. But how well do you listen? I hope you're as cute in the eyes of God in listening to the word proclaimed as that little boy there is, maybe it's a girl, to you and I. Let's get our songbooks out. We find over in Matthew, the 11th chapter, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." How do you come to Jesus? That question is often asked, and unfortunately, the world has a hodgepodge of answers. In fact, what the world does, and I'll even present a lesson on this sometime, I've got a little track that I put together, they play Bible buffet. When I go to a buffet, if I go to Ryan's, children, plug your ears, mamas, I don't eat the green beans. I don't eat the cooked spinach. I could go on. I'm a picky eater. I take the things I like. I can't do that with the Bible. I can't do this with the plan of salvation. I can't pick and choose. If up to this point in your life you have not done the things presented on the screen, bringing yourself to the point of being ready to die with Christ, why aren't you there? We'd be glad to talk to you about those things. But if you understand that you have reached that point to come to Christ, then let us hear your confession of Christ as the Son of God. Let us witness your being baptized into Christ. The question before us, as should be on the screen, is quite simply this: will you come?